Malcolm and I are live in this podcast episode on YouTube. Yay! Hi, Malcolm. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Very well. It's been taking a couple of weeks off work and been relaxing. Trying to take a couple of weeks off work. That's probably better to say. But yeah, I'm still doing modeling and modeling making and all that business. Got a couple of delightful things to show you, which might make you blink.
Lick me, pig. Yes. Well, more licking the pig later. So at the moment, I'm looking or using StreamYard this evening. In the UK, it's the 9th of April, a sunny 8 o'clock. We have one viewer. If you are there and it's not me or Malcolm, then by all means make a comment. I apologize to you if you're listening to this as the podcast, because I've been a bit sneaky in a way, or I've been, because I scheduled it all, in that this episode that you're listening to either on the podcast or watching us live is a format in which we're going to give a little try for a little while to see how we get on, because we've discovered between me and Malcolm, the editing can be something you can miss. So what we're going to do is we're going to try our best to make this live recording available for you to listen to as a podcast. But if you are a Patreon member, which some of you are, and you have paid us money, etc., so thank you very much for that and your support, obviously. But what we're going to do is we're going to put the link up when we do this in Patreon. So you have to be a member of Patreon to get the link to see us in YouTube. So then you can ask us the questions live and be part of the podcast. Yay!
I didn't realize that. That's a good idea.
See, I've been very sneaky because, obviously, first of all, to all of those of you on my birthday tuned in to speak to us and got the bench update that was factual, i.e. neither of us there, it was an April Fool's, obviously, and I'm sorry we were cruel and tricked you and caught quite a few of you out. I'm not going to name any of you at all, Nigel, Peter, Bomb, John. No, I'm not going to. I'm joking. I'm not going to name any of you. There were a few people that made comments of, oh, I knew it was an April Fool all along. And there were a couple I am going to name one because I'm mean. There is one particular person called Gary who knew or thought it was an April Fool, had a conversation with two other people that thought it was an April Fool and tuned in live.
Yeah, to see if it was.
And still didn't realise until he went, ah, he got me.
I heard someone else say that they watched 15 minutes of it and they thought, yeah, this is definitely an April Fool. They were too busy reading
now,
comments.
I have a confession to make. It wasn't until, because I was actually there. Malcolm was busy doing something. I was there controlling all the buttons. Now, I had lined up some very nice music that was going to be playing from the beginning, but I didn't remember until 4 minutes on. So the music comes in 4 minutes late. However, while I was doing the process, I suddenly thought, ah, oh, what a fool. We've got the ultimate thing in which we're going to call you out with, which is our technical issues button.
Right.
And I could have done that a couple of times to prolong the joke, but I'm glad it didn't because would have been too mean.
It worked well.
But so lots of giggles from us. And I hope it was reciprocated in those that did tune in. We do have a comment live, our first live podcast comment. from Kenneth McFarlane. He says, hi from Dublin. What biscuits do you have tonight?
Of all the people to be the first to comment live, and it's Ken, huh?
Yeah. Well, there you go. As you can see, Hobnobs, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. I haven't got any biscuits. Not with me.
No, we've got no biscuits in the studio. I didn't. That wasn't part of my planning, which was very naughty of me.
Just had my tea.
So the purpose of this particular podcast is we're going to give you a bit of an update of what we've been doing, what we're going to be doing with the podcast, because we've got a few ideas in which we want to trial, I think would be a fair way to say it. And we'll talk about that, those bits in a minute. Well, obviously, we've got the wonderful Moosaroo, in which we need to talk about, because that would only be fair.
Yes.
And I've had a quick look, and there is no emails or comments that we can do this evening. Although, obviously, there's a couple of comments from some of the patrons saying that when we told them that we would be away for a little while, a couple of people have paid continuously, and that's very nice of you. Thank you very much. And some have stopped their Patreons and all that sort of stuff. So just administrational sort of comments. So nothing to read out as such. So where do you fancy going first, Malcolm? What should we do?
I would like to know what you've been up to on your bench. Let's start there. What would be going on?
Okay, let's do. Okay.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be tricky because we have to remember that this is going to be an audio only bit of media. So just be aware when you're showing stuff to the camera that some people might not be seeing it. So you might have to describe it as well. Okay.
Oh yes, although you can see my lovely face, I am full in podcast mode, so don't worry too much there. Do you want me to start, or would you like to start?
Mate, you're in the driver's seat, so I'm playing shotgun.
Okay, so in that case, we'll start with me. Hold on to your seats. Make sure your all belts are fastened securely, because I am in the driving seat. Who knows where this could go? So over to my bench. So what have I been playing with? I'm not going to show Malcolm. I'm just going to describe it, because that would work better.
Well, not for the people who are watching live.
Those that are watching live can actually see what's on my bench. I was teasing. So I've been working on a particular diorama. This is a piece that I wanted to do for some time, and now seems like a really good time to do it, given the fact that it is coming up for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. So to describe what's on my bench, I have a round circular piece of wood, which is was part of a spice rack, would you believe? It is approximately 10 inches in diameter, and on that I have 3/4 of it of a base in the middle that is painted black. And a very small portion. See, this is why I don't drive very often, because he is literally the backseat driver. a very small portion at the front that is in colour. I think you can understand where I'm going. So on here, I can show on those that are watching right now, I have got 12 paratroopers of the US 101st. All getting themselves ready with their parachute and their equipment for their drop on D-Day. And they're all in different poses, obviously, because they're in certain different parts of undress. By undress, I mean just equipment, nothing further. And then at the front of the diorama is a wooden bench with a little bit sitting on a bit of grass. Now, the idea being that on that bench, I will have a man sitting on the bench next to a little plaque, and it is the idea is it's to say to suggest to the person looking at the diorama that the old man's at the airfield where they took off on D-Day, and he's remembering the events of that day. Now the whole diorama does have, or will have, 5 different elements to it to try and pick out and understand, because although it's a story in itself, of literally as I've just described, there are five other angles in which you can view the diorama and decide that's what that old man is doing or thinking or etc. So it is quite in depth, and really it's one of those dioramas in which you can look at and go, oh yeah, that's all right, and walk past, or you can sit and go, there may be an Easter egg or two, you never know, to help point you in the right direction. But yes, I've talked about this with a couple of veterans, I was quite intrigued as to what they thought I was trying to depict. So so we've worked out, or I've worked out, there's about five different ways you can view this particular piece, if you really want to stand there and study it and think about it long enough.
Gotcha. Well, I guess because it's on a circle and it's on a round base, it invites you to look at all different angles, huh?
That's exactly the purpose of it. Yeah. It will have elements in which you can go to at least 4 points of the circle, so quarters of the circle, in which you should be able to see at least three of the thought processes that I've just mentioned out of the five. Two at the front and the rest around. But anyway, if you know your stuff about paratroopers and all that sort of stuff, and the research I've got is correct, then it'd be pretty, some of it will be obvious, some of it will not be. But yeah, you can work that out as you go along. Yeah. So yeah, I've been working on that. Obviously, the one thing I didn't mention, or I think I didn't, is all the paratroopers that are on the base right now are all done to depict a black and white scene. Although I haven't used just black and white. So I've used monotone colors to pick out certain things. And what I've done is I don't do reference pictures, as you all know, but I have looked at a few reference pictures and I've tried to simulate the same things you see in a black and white image from that particular day. So a bit complicated for me. The figures are not finished yet, and the old man is not here yet. He's on his way, flying over from the States as we speak. We are on the scene, as you can see, those are watching, and as I'm going to describe, not only have you got obviously the paratroopers in different states of readiness for going on the work on their job, but you've got others that are like, I can't believe I've got to carry this, and kit on the floor and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that. To go along with that,
What kit is it before you leap forward? What? Where did you get the figures from?
Ah, that's a very good question. It's not a kit. These are all figures that I've picked up, some individually, some in pairs, and it was all bought in via a very nice site where I found these figures and the ways they are posed. What I did do is I bought one of everything because I wanted everything, and since I bought them, I found three others in different poses, which are even just as brilliant. They're all resin figures. The equipment is all resin. The figures come in. So you attach the arms, the head, and all the equipment, etc. But the main body, I think I'm right in saying all of them were solid pieces of resin. So yeah, thank you for that.
All right.
So the other thing I've been working on to go along with this is the weapons. And I'm now holding up a little lollipop with a bazooka and three rifles.
Yeah.
And I've attached, if I put it up really, really closely, hopefully you can see it. For those that are watching, I will take some pictures of this. But I've attached all the straps from PE.
Yes.
Each strap has got buckles and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They're quite fun to do. The first one's always a bit of a pain in the butt, but once you get in a rhythm and you work out what you're doing, it's quite easy to do, I'll be honest. They're all strapped up, so to speak. One of my rifles has, which I haven't fixed yet, has got a bit missing. And the reason for that is that my fluffy cat decided to jump on the bench and help me with my little making and thought that this particular rifle was too long. So she bit the end off.
Nice.
She's still with us, but just not allowed in here.
Is she not your favourite cat anymore?
No, she's all right. It was my own fault. I knew that's what she would do, so I didn't protect the scene well enough. So, yeah, so that's one of the things I've been working on. The other thing in which I've been working on, other two things I've been working on, which not a lot done, is another set of 1/35 figures. Uh-huh. This particular figure that I'm showing right now is the Bill Millen, I think his name was. I'm going to die if I got that wrong. But Bill Millen was a piper of the bagpipes. Uh-huh. That landed on Sword Beach, I believe, with the commandos. And he was instructed to play his pipes to keep the chaps happy.
What actually
happened was he took the pipes with him to play on the journey over the channel for morale reasons. And the officer in charge liked it so much, he said, "When we get onto the shore, pipe up, get a music playing, and we'll all have a good jolly old dance on the beach." Well, he didn't say that, but he basically said, "Get some music going, you." And he's like, "What do you want me to play? I don't care about anything loud." So yeah, so I've got another 2, 4, 6 another 10 figures there, which are British troops. They will all be painted in color to go along with my landing craft.
Right. So what's your grand plan for this, for these models? Are you planning for a certain type of competition or a display?
No. So basically, this was just a celebration of the D-Day landing. So these have all got to be finished by, obviously, the anniversary. Mm. But I have in my hands an LCA British landing craft from Gecko, 1/35. And that's the landing craft I'm going to use with the figures I've just mentioned that will be in colour. Right. That will be a separate diorama, obviously, to the one I've just mentioned. And it will be them literally coming off the landing craft onto the beach and making their way up the beach towards the not so friendly Germans at the time.
So
that's going to be it's going to be fun because it's I say fun. I've always wanted to do painting of a kilt. However, now I've got a kilt to paint, I really wish I could find a transfer.
I don't know. go on.
It's difficult. There are transfers out there, but on the front of the kilt is a very flat surface, so it'd work quite well. But on the back, it is very, very pleated, and every pleat, which I'll show you. I'll take a picture of this for our bits. But as you can see, those that you're watching, there is about 20 odd pleats at the back of that kilt, and each one has to have a thin yellow line right down the middle of it.
Yeah,
good luck to me.
Yep, that's a lot you've bitten off there.
No, it's fine. I have a plan with that. It's fine. I've got my Google eyes
back or something.
Yeah, what I'm gonna do. Yeah, well, what I might do is just a great big pair of underpants around it.
Well, having them standing with it back to a bunker or something.
Well, it's going to look a bit odd, isn't it? If he's coming off the landing craft, sort of shoveling along with his backside along the side. I don't really want to go out there. But no, it's fine. I'll figure a way around it. And at the end of the day, what we have to remember when model making is it is actually just an illusion. So you don't have to get everything 100% right. So that's what I'm going with. Right. And very much lastly, which I'm not sure you know about this, but I have got one of these. So this is a Miart German tractor, 1939, in 1/35, which is similar to those that follow us and know what we're talking about. We did a 48-hour group build where we did 1/24 tractors, which is great fun. But this is a piece that I need to get finished for something that I do in my other life. which is what's called an inspiration box. So this goes along with something that's going out very soon that people don't know about. So I can't tell you what it's going with at the moment. But anyway, so this tractor is 135th. It is painted in lots of different colours of rust.
Yeah. Yes.
It has got chipping fluid on it. And I will regret this. I know I will, but it's been like that for some time. And I have to put the colour of the tractor over the top and then obviously chip it away. So I'm at the point that I can do that.
That's fun.
It won't take very long to do, but great fun to do. And then I will hit it with pigments and all sorts of glorious stuff.
Hit it with a pig.
So, yeah. Yeah. So there you go. So that's what I've been up to. How about you?
Well, the circumstances of my model making is that I need to switch my camera so I can describe it to you. Otherwise, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. Not really.
Right. While you gather yourself a second, we do have another message from that's come in from the people who watched us live. There are a couple of people watching now. Captain Cass is saying, hi, great to see you and hear you back. What's the schedule? We'll come to that in a little bit. Just bear with us.
Ooh.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Anyway, Malcolm.
Okay.
Tell us what's on your bench.
Right. What have I been doing? So, yes, talking about the 48-hour build, which was in March, not long ago now. Many of you in the heart. If you haven't heard of it before, it's Model Officer's Mess birthday every year. See? And every year they have an event where everyone kind of comes together and builds kits together. And this event was fantastic, this one. And James kindly sent me this tractor to build. So, not being one to complain, I just went ahead and said, yeah, all right, I'll build it. So, yeah, I built this with you, this thing. It's the Mini Art. Tractor. I have the box, but I think it's a D8 500.
Correct.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah, it was great fun. Lots of little bits, some fiddly, some not. Plastic was pretty nice. Everything fitted nicely. Loads of different photographs online to steal from and get ideas from. Once built, even though it does look very what's the word? Fiddly? The word I'm looking for is not in my head, but it looks fragile. There we go. Fragile is a good word.
Yes.
It's not, actually. It's held quite well together. So when you're painting it and manipulating it, moving it around with your big hands, it stays together, which is great. So it also means that you can really weather it and really go to town as many layers as you like in terms of color. You can push as hard as you want on the paint, you know, and it's great. It's really good. So yeah, I put oil on there and rust. And just went to town with it. Really did loads of different techniques and stuff on it. It was really fun, really fun. Try to get it reasonably accurate to the time period, or you know what I imagined would be the time period that it was in. And I made a little base for it as well. Just a quick one, just using a cobblestone card that I had laying around for quite some time, and I just put some gunk on there and chucked the tractor on it, and that was it. But yeah, it was absolutely brilliant fun. Good build, good painting, good fun doing all the modeling and stuff like that. There's some parts of it I go, oh, I did that rust right, you know, this bit looks right. That looks realistic, this bit, and then this bit. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I can see my brush marks in it. You know? But it was great fun. So I'd really recommend doing one of these if you haven't done one before. Yeah. So there's that. One of the other things, as you guys know, part of Models for Heroes, and one of the things that we're doing at N4H is a figure painting class with a chap called Rob Herring. Brilliant figure painter. If you're in the figure painting world, I'm sure you have heard of him. He teaches us every other Thursday, and we all are painting these Dothraki veterans from Cool Mini or Not. There's a game about Game of Thrones, board game, and got donated these horses with these dudes on the back, and they're all pretty much the same. So we sent them out to people who wanted to learn a bit of figure painting, and Rob has a couple to paint, and we paint along with him. Series is called Paint Along with Rob, and and people are painting stuff in the way that he paints, and enjoying it in the same way that he enjoys his, and getting that confidence of painting figures back, or developing that confidence. That's the whole point of the session, of the idea of the group, is to get people's confidence back. And so many people, they build a vehicle and then they have a figure with it and are scared of the figure, or just put one coat of paint on it and that's it. But it doesn't have to be, and that's what Rob's trying to teach. So he's teaching us about doing the base color, how to use a wet palette to then mix a lighter color to do the highlights, and then how to use, how to make a lighter color again, how to not use white, how to use other different colors in your palette. For instance, the stubble on his head, because he's got kind of a half-shaped head, that's a very thin blue rather than what I would say would be a thin gray. But using a blue gives you a different, skin effect, I suppose. It's more like skin.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So little things like that, little really cool tips. So he went over the skin, and then he talked about how to do the hair and this kind of flowing massive robe thing he's got on. And he's talked about the last one he talked about was how to do the horse and try and make that as realistic as possible. How to do the dot in the eyes for the horsies.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to do my pink and put like a cutie mark on the back, call it Wonder Sparkles or something, but I didn't. I kept it as realistic as the show as I could. Everyone's painting these horses, and lots of people are really enjoying it. And hopefully we're going to get them all back together again, and they'll be on the M4H table near you, show, hopefully. Maybe Scumbled a lot, who knows. It'd be nice to have like a little cavalry of painted horses.
That'd be cool.
It's nice to show like what the reason that we paint this stuff rather than what it is the reason. There's those. That's my version. I'm not particularly happy with it because I don't think the red worked, but it was good fun to paint and learn stuff, learn techniques. The other thing I've been doing is the Rubicon BTR 60 PB, I think it is, which is this beast. It's the four-wheeled APC, and it can go in the water, it can go in space. Drives on the moon, that kind of thing. I'm going to do a Romanian version.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, there's a special interest group for Romanian vehicles amongst the IPS, and I'm going to build a little diorama of two of these going through like a creek or something. So that's as far as I've got recently. We had a volunteers day, and that's what I got built on that time. So that's on my shelf as well to be done. The other person building one of these has never built a model kit before and should, because she's our mental health first aid trainer. I will have hers on mine on the diorama. If she's listening, she needs to get on with it. Other thing. About 5 years ago, we lost one of our beneficiaries called Brian Clark. And amongst his models that he was building just before he died was the D9R, the Meng D9R bulldozer. The kit got donated to me by one of our volunteers that helped clear his stash out. I've only just really felt like I'm able to build it. Time has passed. Time heals all wounds and all that sort of thing. And he was a great chap. So I've always wanted to do it justice. So what I've done, I've finished the build side of things. This is a completed D9R dozer. You see before you, or don't. I'll put pictures up and stuff, like James said. But what I've got done is, just to make it an extra special version, is I have added, there's about 20 wires coming out the bottom. And each of those wires leads to an LED. So there are LEDs in the main headlights, there's LEDs in the spotlights, there's LEDs in the rear lights, and the center light will have one as well. There'll be LEDs in the cockpit. I've left the roof off so that I can get to it, but also I can paint in there because the detail in this kit, if you haven't built the D9R from Meng, you should, because it's bloody gorgeous in there. It looks like you get in there and start it up and go, you know? It's wonderful. So, really going to look forward to painting that up. I got some LED kits from, where did I go from? eBay. I think I went to eBay and bought a couple of white ones, a couple of red ones. And these special ones that have like a little circuit board or something built into them already. So you just buy the LED and, as James will see, it flashes.
Yay. See that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like a little, it's like a little winky pop, a little flashing orange light that like you have on top of construction vehicles and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I bought that, all the best intentions. I was like, right, I'm going to put that on. Now I've got to look up where it's going to be. And I couldn't find where they go. And as far as I can tell, they don't have them.
So,
do your research first, peoples. So, yeah, I need to check as well, because the references, pictures I have seen, the brake lights or the rear lights are not red. They're actually white, but they might have a red bulb. So I need to find a picture of them at night time to see what the light colors are. Before I put them in, but hey, it's still in that stage where I can still move things about, take things off. Things aren't quite glued down yet. Spotlights were fun because the back of them, the actual panel didn't fit the wires with the spotlight in the back, so I had to rebuild the back of these here using plastic card. The back of the spotlights are fine. And then I'll hide the wires going through the base. Now, the base is going to be a picture frame. Okay. Most of the D9Rs I've seen built are either, you know, displayed like that with their lovely blade in the front, you know, with nice weathering opportunity and all that kind of thing. And, you know, that's great. And I will look forward to weathering up the blade at the front there. However, it also got this massive ripper on the back. One of our beneficiaries is actually an operator of these machines and told me all about the power of these things and how cool it was when the ripper's working. He said it'd be, you know, quite good to have the ripper down and do a diorama of all the bits and everything. So that's what I'm going to do. So I've got this picture frame here. What I'm going to have is it just kind of just going over, driving forward, and then behind, this is all going to be ripped up. It's all going to be ripped up concrete and earth and stuff. It'll be all, you know, maybe a pipe sticking out or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of destruction there, this little tiny bit. Mm. But also, he's going to have gone through the frame. So the frame's going to be all splintered up as well. So he's gone right through it,
cool.
Right? A bit of a kind of an illusion breaker. And then the operator's going to be hanging out going, oh my God, what have I done? So that's the plan. So I've been gifted some D9R figures. They're from the IDF. And one of them looks like I could adjust it so that they're hanging out on the side here. Looking back. Fingers crossed. I haven't yet tested that. But that's the plan. And obviously I'll have the lights on and the switch for it and the battery will be underneath because there's plenty of space under here.
Yeah. You
know, it's one of those box frames. So it's
Yeah.
So that's the plan for this. Okay. It's going to be in these colors, IDF Combat Engineers. It's Israeli Defense Force. So a kind of a gray, loads of different kind of color grays. And then all the handles and standing points are red. All right. So, yeah, if anyone has a nighttime shot for a piece with the lights on, do let me know. So I want to know what color the lights are. And I'm also the same guy who gave me the figures also lent me his D9 Variants book by Michael Mass.
Oh, brilliant. Ooh, nice.
So, again, if you are building one of these, I certainly recommend you purchase one of these or find a super duper friend who has able the ability to lend it to you.
Amazing.
And yeah, it's great because you know it zooms into all the little bits and pieces that you probably hadn't thought about what color they should be. What's interesting is a lot of these are painted this gray color, but underneath the gray, you can still see the yellow poking through.
Yeah.
So they were caterpillars first, and then painted yellow at the factory, and then they just painted them the whatever color they wanted. And then didn't worry about rolling the wheels along. They painted them. As they still got the yellow sticking out. That's it. And you can see the lights and things like that in these shots, and you see them at work and everything. That's quite a project, really. I'm loving it. It's absolutely brilliant. The tracks went together reasonably well as well. I was a bit worried about them, but they took, you know, once I kind of got my head around how it worked, they were fine. So I've got two sets of tracks to go on. That is it. Yes. Would you like to see the lights working?
We could do that for the five people that are watching.
Five people?
Five people are watching.
Well, I should put five lights on.
And welcome to you all.
Now I haven't labeled any of these lights up, so this might be, you know, a bit weird. You know, we don't know which light we're going to get. This one. Well, it is. Oh, I don't know which one that is. I bet it's the one on the other side. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's probably the rear light.
Yeah, probably. No, I think these ones here are the spotlights. I should have really set this up beforehand, huh?
Oh, no, because you weren't aware of what we're doing because I left it all to the last minute.
No, that's true. That's true. Right. If I turn the main lights off, because this is just a test battery. So you can see that light there now is lighting up. Oh, hang on. Right, put that there. That's going to go in here. Great fucking podcasting, man. Right, and then we'll put this here.
So, while you're concentrating, Malcolm is fiddling with the wires and now flashing his headlight with Morse code to explain James is driving. Please be aware. So, yeah, that's cool.
No, it's going to go there because this is a low-power battery, and it's going to have a 9-volt going through it, so it's going to be full power. They've all got resistance. So it's going to be safe. But it's going to light up quite a lot of the space in that. So I like it.
Yeah.
We'll see what
happens. It looks really good. And
thank you.
You've cracked on with that since the last time I spoke to you a lot. So,
yeah. It's a heck of a thing. It's huge. It's going to be quite commanding on a table, I think, with all the light and everything on it as well. You love it. So that's cool. Me.
Excellent. So while you've been talking, I've got coffee on the way and the hairy monster is here, which I'm not very impressed about. So if you hear me coughing at all, I'm still coughing. So I'm trying to mute myself before I cough. So if it does come across, I do apologize in advance. We've been asked by Kenneth. He says, what is the JMC group build for Scale Model World? We're going to come to that in a minute or two. But obviously we've done our bench update now. So what I want to do next is we need to obviously do this.
Loose rail cap.
Loose rail cap.
Let's talk about the loose rail cap.
Boom.
Woo-hoo. So for those that aren't watching, there are no
Let's
graphics.
Talk about the loose rail cap.
Boom.
Loop.
Possibly. Technical issues. Yes, there are no graphics. It was just obviously the jingle for Mystery Cup. So, we got the pictures in on time for my build. I did put some pictures up on the Facebook group, etc. And everywhere, I think. I enjoyed the build in the end. Thank you. Thank you, tea lady. I've just been delivered coffee.
Well, where's mine?
It should be just heading towards your door now. So yeah, I've got the build off, the pictures off. I had planned to actually send it originally, but I didn't. It's up there somewhere.
You sent the pictures, right?
I sent the pictures, yeah. But a massive congratulations to Chris Meddings, who won this year. It wasn't a fix in any way whatsoever, and there's a big round of applause, which I don't have a sound effect for, which is that was remiss of me. It wasn't a fix at all, but he put an awful lot of work in scratch building wise and all that and the other, and it was a very good build indeed. So big congratulations to Chris. Malcolm, you're up next for the next build, so that's quite interesting.
Yeah. I just realised that. Yes, that's right. I will be. Oh, cool. I will embrace it. I will embrace it to my heart.
Yes, indeed.
Previously. Talking about Chris's build, he had finished very early, hadn't he?
He did, yeah.
But he had put a lot of his efforts in there, and all his skill in scratch building went poured into that piece. So he did really well. And well deserved. Well done, Chris.
Indeed. You can change your camera if you want, Malcolm.
Can I?
Not that I don't mind looking at your dozer, but
sorry, yes, podcast. Right.
No one knew. It's a podcast. No one knew. That's the Mooshroo update. Obviously, the event went very well. I'm told that the judging was very, very difficult. There was some very, very good builds, all sort of similar in their approach. I think there was one non-finish because it frustration took the better of the person. And I won't name them because they took part. Well, purely because I can't remember it was. Thanks. Number nine, bus. Tickets here.
Oh, sorry.
Tickets, please.
That was cool. I like that.
Yes, indeed. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was. I this year I struggled a lot with it. I wasn't enthused. But once I got going on it, I did enjoy doing it. So
yeah. Once you got your head down, you spent a couple of days just working on it. I think you start to get into it, and in fact, you think you went on longer than you intended to.
I did.
Once you put the right size leaves on it, I think it was fine. This was a massive leaf on it. So, what do you think of that?
Well, I was going to do that actually, and I was going to challenge the audience to see whether they thought it was a big leaf or a tarp. That was my angle. But it didn't look like a tarp. It looked like a big leaf. So it sort of defeated the object. But there you go. So yeah, it's a Mooshroo update anyway. We've done the bench. So let me answer the question from Kenneth in relation to this year's group build. The honest truth is we haven't got one organised as yet. We are still poring over the enormous list of ideas in which we've got. And fighting over it to a point. We will come up with something. And the hesitation will come apparent in the next bit we're going to talk about, which is JMC itself.
Hmm. I don't know we're both going to be at Scale Model World, aren't we?
We are.
Oh, we are. Okay, good. I wasn't sure if you were going to be there, but so. Group build wise, we haven't thought about it. Might just do something similar that we did last time. Haven't thought about it. We will see what we come up with.
Yeah.
It's probably a quite dangerous thing, actually.
Could be anything. Yeah, it is. Because I know that a few people are championing a bit to be wowed at it's a zany idea. I think the last person I spoke to said, please don't leave it too long, because if I want to get it into the competition, I don't want to be doing it quickly. I want to be working on it over a long period of time.
Oh, it won't be something that you can work on quickly. It'll be something that you just throw together on the way up to Scale Model World, probably.
Well, maybe I'll be honest, I've not said this to you, but I was inspired by IFX a little bit, actually, a couple of weeks ago.
Don't you say it.
Anyway, I'll let those that are listening figure out what I mean by that. I'm not going to say it, no. But I was inspired by AFIX, and well done to them as well. But yes, so yeah, the short answer is we haven't got it quite yet, but we will announce it relatively soon if we're going to do it. So, JMC,
Captain Chaos's question as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, so what's the schedule? Yeah, we'll cover that in this next bit. Mm-hmm. So, JMC, Malcolm, we've obviously had a little bit of a break. And we've discussed things.
Big
yes, we've had a very big break. Well, we missed the flight, didn't we? So, you know, just more cocktails of strange names that we had to drink. So we worked our way through the menu. We did do all right. So
yes. So we had an extended holiday, essentially. And then when we come back to talk about what we were going to do next, I didn't have much of a mojo. A podcasting mojo? Is that a thing?
That is, yeah.
I didn't fancy doing an hour, 18-hour editing marathons anymore for each podcast. As much as I like James's voice, I don't think I had it in me anymore to do. I mean, we've done three seasons of that, and I think it's like over 2 days. Is it 2 days of actual content? If you really want it to be crazy, you can sit there and listen to it. 2 days. So that's a lot of editing, and it does take a long time. It takes a lot of time out of my day when I want to spend it doing other things. You know, I've got a lot of Models for Heroes stuff to do. I've got family things, family commitments, and I also want to play computer games and watch films, do other cool stuff. So for now, the editing won't be done by myself. So what will be happening?
Right, so the idea is, obviously, this is what we're doing right now is a little bit of a test to see how we feel about sound quality and all that sort of stuff. We're using the platform of StreamYard. We are live to YouTube. I purposely not done it to the Facebook group. So there is a little bit of exclusivity if you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. And like I alluded to earlier, what I think we're going to try and do is we're going to try and do this, this sort of format for a little while. And we're going to be cheeky and we're going to keep the show to the sort of time in which we would normally do a podcast. And we're just going to download the audio and pop it up as a podcast. Yeah. But you, the listener, are in the driving seat in telling us really what you think of it and how it's been received. We both got our big boy pants on, so you know we expect for you to tell us what you think. We hope that it will be nice, but we'll see. The other thought I had, which bear in mind, Malcolm and I have just literally spoken about this very briefly, and obviously I've already mentioned a couple of things that I've not said to Malcolm, but there may be the opportunity if we use that format to do some interviews.
Yeah. Yep.
But also maybe a tutorial interview as an idea. Now, awesome. Now the idea with that is going to be quite difficult because obviously it's a visual thing of which we've got to commentate on as it's being done.
That's fine.
But we're going to give it a go. We've always wanted to do something a little bit different to everybody else. So this seems like the normal sort of thing which we do. We want to try and make it as humorous as possible, and we'll still talk in the way we do to each other. Unedited will be interesting because there'll have to be some breaks on certain things. But I think that's where we'd like to head for now.
Yeah.
And I think, talking for myself, obviously Malcolm said that he's done the editing all the way from the beginning. And I have always felt quite bad at the fact that I just rock up, talk a load of rubbish and walk away and wait for it to come out. So we'll see how this goes and then if we need to adjust. But remember, guys, we've always said we'll do this for as long as we enjoy it. And once it becomes a point where we don't enjoy it, we won't carry on. So that's not a pre-warning. It's not like, we're about to stop. Malcolm and I are splitting up. No, we're not. It's none of that. No. no, well, not that I'm aware of. None of the band members have decided they want to go. They're going to be solo.
The band members. Yeah, that'd be fine. Solo career.
Yeah, Well, I've got my solo album coming out shortly. And I've got a couple of duets with Kylie Marley. We're going to have a duet. And Gary Swift. Oh. Anyway.
Niche jokes.
Very niche, yes. So bear with us. The schedule, to answer your question, Captain Chaos, is going to be hit and miss for a little bit. We're going to try and be relatively regular. But that's down to my diet. And obviously, we'll see how that goes. I'm going to try and be relatively regular. I'm going to take control, and I'm going to sit out and work out a little bit of a schedule and half a dozen episodes of ideas of what we can do, et cetera, sit with Malcolm and give it a go and suck it and see, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. I'm up for that. Sounds like a bit of fun. Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen, so let's get on that train and see where it takes us. Sorry.
Absolutely. Or train or car or motorbike, but really you don't want to be on the back of a motorbike with me. Driving me in the driving seat is bad enough, like being on two wheels. So yeah, that's it. We're coming up for the hour. Was there anything else in which you wanted to go over at all?
Yes, absolutely. The title of this particular podcast is One Man's Gold. Now, we intended to have a little discussion in around the other stuff we're talking about, so Mystery Cup and what we've been up to. We were intending to have a chat about it, but time's kind of got away with this, but I think we can still have a go.
Yeah. So the idea beyond the title was the old phrase, of course, one man's gold is another man's rubbish, or the versa, or whatever, the other way around. It was just a case of thinking up a title more than anything else. I think what would be nice actually is, those of you who listen to the podcast, is there anything particular that you like, and like to use and like to pick up, where other people think it, i.e. it's your gold, and where other people might think it's their rubbish? Let's know.
So I'll start
in the usual way.
Mm-hmm. I start mine. Sprues that you have left over, old rubbishy sprues, is my gold, and I'll tell you why. When you've got Microset, and it's on your table, and you cast your finger across your bench, and you absolutely don't see it there, you quite easily knock them over. Microset and Microsoft are notorious for it. I recently knocked over an entire bottle of super glue on my cutting mat here, which is, I don't know if you can see it, it's there, really kind of rock hard bits. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I make these. I don't really want to call them, really. They're like little sprue nests, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have I shown you these before? I think I probably have. I'm sure I
have. Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, so what I get is I get whatever bottle that I've got that falls over, and so there's some wash here, and I'll start to build, just cut some sprue up and start to build it around, just using regular extra thin or whatever plastic you prefer. And it makes like a nest, right? And it stops it knocking over. Yeah? You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to spend any money on anything. It's just the glue, I guess, that you're using. And you know, you can make them for any size bottle you like. I obviously built this around it, and then once it's kind of, you know, relatively hardened, and after 10 minutes, I'd say it's probably movable. You can just pop it out, put another one in, and if you break it, make another one. You can make one for any size thing you want. You can make it as tight as you want and wide as you want. It's the world's your oyster. And so this. These sprues, I usually keep the ones with all the nice curves, the curvy bits, the because they go nicely when you're trying to put bottles on the curves. So the curves I used to keep. And that is my gold, I suppose. It actually happens that this sprue is a goldy colour too. Dun, dun, dun. Isn't that good? So that's what I like to do.
I'm busy talking to my mic's muted as I was coughing. You linked that really well with the colour sprue and all the rest of it. So well done you.
Thank you.
So for me, sprue for me as well is a gold. There are certain types of sprue that are better than others, but certainly for making aerials and that sort of thing. And even tow ropes to a point, if you're very, very clever, you can make them out of sprue by stretching two sprues at the same time and twisting it, which is difficult, but it can be done. I've got a selection of sprue in a box, but I always do find that the Airfix sprue is one of the better ones for making aerials. Mm. And obviously the other thing to use your sprue for is weight. Fixing weight into airplanes. If you put a little bit of lead weight into some melted sprue, and then you can mold that sprue into where it goes.
Okay.
I don't do that very often. I don't do airplanes very often, but yeah, it is something. But one of the things in which for me is gold is these little things. So these are marshmallows. It's a bag of marshmallows. They are very, very nice. When you're melting your sprue for your weight, you can toast a few marshmallows, and it'll be always good for you. No, these are little bits of polystyrene packing. So every time someone sends me a parcel or something, these things I always keep because you never know. These are actually just normal polystyrene. These ones I've got in my hand, but I have the peanuts and I have the paper ones and all sorts. They're really handy to keep. You got the corrugated packing. Yeah. Corrugated paper boxes are made out of. Yeah, basically paper. But they're really good because you can take them apart and keep the corrugated part, which gives you a nice steel roof, uh-huh. corrugated iron sort of effect. The packing nuts you can use for, these ones are little squares, basically, or oblongs. And you can melt them and play with them, and you can make boulders and all sorts of stuff. Or you can obviously use them to pack out your diorama base if you're making a heel or something. You can glue them all together, and then that reduces the amount of weight because obviously you're going to put some plaster over it or something like that, or some polyfiller, and you're not got a great big lump of polyfiller. It's just over the top of these. So these are really great to keep holes. So they're my gold, but obviously most people's rubbish.
Yeah, that's good. A little bit of recycling too, is there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen the starch ones? You know, you can put them into together and make it like a big long line.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. They're very good.
Group build.
group build. Here we go. What can you make out of my nuts? Peanuts, obviously.
Peanuts, yeah. Packaging.
I can make a brooch. I can make a hat.
It's one.
Kenneth is just saying there in the chat on the YouTube channel, he's just saying, I think using YouTube is a good idea. Oh, cool. Okay. Leon was there as well. He's just joined us saying, yay, welcome back, guys. Yeah. Thank you very much, Liam.
Thank you, Liam.
So let us know. Obviously, we're not going to talk about it much more than that. Just a couple of ideas for you. Let us know in the comments on either the video here or on Facebook or on Instagram or all the other wonderful ways in which you can leave a comment. If you're a member of Patreon, by all means, leave us a comment on there as well. I think just coming up to the hour, almost to the second. Can you believe that, Malcolm? We normally waffle for a lot longer.
Amazing. Can we make it exactly 1 hour long?
I'm just about to do so. So anyway, thank you very much, everyone that's joined us on the YouTube channel. Thank you, everyone that's listened to this podcast. We will be back very shortly with another episode at some point about something. Who knows? Stay tuned, and thank you for being with us.
Cheerio. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Take care. Be good.